Here we are at the end of August, and around this time 17 years ago, Hurricane Katrina bore down on New Orleans.
Is there any way you can get to the roof if need be?
I'm stuck in the egg, and me and my little sister and my mom, and they got water in the whole house.
The hurricane caused billions of dollars in damage to the city, and the human toll was even higher. Thousands died, and thousands more were displaced, fanned out across the country, far from the homes they knew and trying to start over. Filmmaker Edward Buckles Jr. was one of them. He was just 13 years old when Katrina came.
Imagine experiencing something like that and no one ever comes to ask, are you okay? Or like, do you need anything? You know, are you having nightmares? What happens when it's storming outside?
So in his new documentary, Katrina Babies, Buckles puts questions like these to other kids like him who survived Katrina. Buckles also reconnected with members of his family who stayed behind as the storm rolled in, like his cousin Tina. Her house used to be the gathering spot for Buckles and his cousins, full of warmth, the smell of rice and gravy. Buckles remembered watching the news, worrying that Tina and her family would be killed. Their neighborhood was devastated by the storm, but they survived. Tina's house stood. Even so, Buckles told me it took him years to feel ready to talk with them about the day that they set off on two different paths.
I've been speaking to my cousins way more now, and, you know, we've been gathering and planning family trips, and we've been in a group chat and just really rebuilding what we lost from Hurricane Katrina.
They lost homes, family connections, a sense of security. For another of Buckles' cousins, his name's Quentin, he lost trust in the government.
He lost belief that his life mattered in that moment at 11 years old. And when he said that, I learned so much about my cousin and like so much about, you know, just how Katrina impacted what he was putting out outwardly into the world. So yes, at age 11 years old, he decided I would never fight for this country. And that speaks volumes, you know. Because, like, that doesn't just mean that he doesn't want to join the army or something. Like, that means that he doesn't have trust in his country.
It sounds like, you know, this country, in his mind, wasn't there for him in one of the most traumatic, difficult moments of his life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to say that that line that, you know, I would never fight for this country was followed by him saying, we wasn't in here for a day. We was locked in our attics for 3 days. And that line was followed by his mom saying, when everybody else in the world thought that, you know, New Orleans was good, we were still in our attics. So what does that do to trust? Like, you know, what does that do to one's belief in their lives mattering? And just to be honest, I don't think that he's the only person that feels that way. They may not articulate it the exact same way, but a lot of us are dealing with trust issues when it comes to America.
So much of what you explore in this film, it's unpacking trauma, the trauma that you experienced, that Quentin experienced. And it's not just the trauma of Katrina itself. It's the physical destruction. It's the displacement that comes. It's the violence. Even this many years, 17 years removed, how does anybody even begin to heal from trauma that is so compounded, so ingrained?
Yeah. And I didn't go into this film trying to find healing, honestly, because I didn't know that it was possible, right? You know, I didn't know that simply having conversations and starting to tell our stories would be healing. So it wasn't until Maisha said...
And tell us real quick who Maisha is.
Maisha is like one of my best friends, and she is a subject in the film. And she is the first person that breaks down in this film and says, no one ever asked me about my story. And I realized that we weren't just dealing with people telling their stories. We were dealing with people healing. This film is not going to heal everybody. This film has not healed me, but it has opened up a door for me to figure out, okay, what does that journey to healing looks like? Because as you said, we are not just healing from Hurricane Katrina, but we are healing from everything else that we have experienced before the storm and after the storm. And I just want us to know that, you know, we can start that journey.
You know, as a journalist, I have covered the aftermaths of a lot of
tragedies and violence across this country, and it seems like there's this pattern every time where something horrible happens in a community, and then all of these resources pour in. And when there are kids involved, there are often support systems, counselors, therapists who are brought in to make sure that the kids who are living through whatever the thing is, that they have the ability and the space and the help to process. But when I hear you talk and in your film, people like Maisha, that infrastructure didn't exist for Katrina babies. Yeah. It was not afforded to you. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's a question that I have been asking myself during this whole process. I don't know the answer to that, but I am only left to assume, and God, I hope that I'm wrong. But it is the lack of empathy, it is the lack of care, and it is the lack of respect for Black people in this country. You know, specifically speaking from experience, Black children in this country. I proposed this idea in the film of the double-edged sword of, like, resilience, right? Mm-hmm. What that sword looks like is, you know, yes, we are resilient. Yes, we take pride in our strength. But on the other side of that is us being viewed as we don't need the same help that other people need because of the fact that we are so strong and we are so resilient. I think that people are like, look at them. They're good. You know, they're quote unquote bouncing back. Look at them second lining in the streets. New Orleans is rebuilt. New Orleans is coming back. They don't need anything. Look at that. And I think because of that way of thinking, we always miss out on our opportunity for wellness and healing and like our opportunity for proper help and like assistance once we experience something traumatic.
You and others in the film make the point that while buildings remain, your house stood, the New Orleans that you knew was destroyed and mm-hmm. it's not coming back. What do you want people to know about that New Orleans, the New Orleans that you grew up in before Katrina came to town?
Yeah, you know, at the end of the film, I say that New Orleans is not rebuilt. And like some people would look at that and be like, what do you mean? Like business is thriving. Like y'all are doing great down there. And what I mean is that the New Orleans that we knew, the real New Orleans, the New Orleans that was filled with families, the New Orleans where all you really saw was Black people. And, you know, we were in our neighborhoods and like, we owned our neighborhoods and we took pride in our neighborhoods. And, you know, I just want people to know that when like they are coming to our New Orleans and when they are, you know, experiencing like all of this great culture and like all of this great magic and beauty, that it comes from us and it comes from all of the people who were here before the storm, some of us who are still there after the storm, right? That's what I want people to know is that, you know, everything that you love about New Orleans comes from us.
Edward Buckles Jr., director of Katrina Babies, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Katrina Babies is out now on HBO.